paying millions just for Wordle?
I'm David Brancaccio. First, in just a few minutes, we'll get fresh government data on how many people quit their jobs in the last month of 2021. The forecasts predict people are still leaving their jobs for greener pastures or for at-home care duties amid pandemic. The churn continues. For more, we consult Drew Mattis, who's Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management.
Well, I think you're going to see the quits rate remain high. And in fact, job openings are actually above the level of the number of unemployed in the country. So for anyone who's trying to find an employee, they need to pick someone and pick someone fast.
Yet on Friday, the big employment and unemployment reports for the month just ended come out. And that could have a different cast to it somehow.
Certainly. A lot of the big banks are actually expecting negative payrolls. And that's due to COVID. And, you know, I think most people are kind of looking through that and they're going to be focused on things like wages, which are maybe a little slower moving, but give you a better indication of how much demand there is for labor.
Yeah, because the wage report comes out as part of that series on Friday. And you think that'll be up because of what we've just been talking about?
I think so. Even though wages are up a lot, they're still trailing behind inflation, which is part of the reason why people are continuing to quit jobs and kind of switch jobs. They're trying to maintain their standard of living. It's part of the reason the Fed's beginning to worry a little bit about the inflation outlook and why they'll probably raise rates at their meeting in March.
Drew Mattis, Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Quitting time. This morning, the government reports how many people up and quit in December. Schools are a place where turnover has always run high. About 30% of teachers leave within their first 5 years. Now, with the hope of keeping people in the classroom, some governors have hit upon a concept. What about paying teachers more? For example, in Alabama, Republican governor and former high school teacher Kay Ivey has proposed a 4% increase that would bring the starting salary to about $43,000 a year, according to a published report. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports.
If one state increases teachers' salaries, others are likely to as well. That's according to Jacob Vigdor, who studies education policy as a professor at the University of Washington.
There's a little bit of an element of an arms race that goes on.
He says it's hard to bring in teachers without a competitive salary, also because they could make more money doing something else entirely. A study from the Economic Policy Institute found that public school teachers earn about 20% less than other workers with the same level of experience and education.
We need to erase that gap, that teacher penalty gap.
Randy Weingarten is president of the American Federation of Teachers, and she says we need seasoned teachers in the classroom.
I'm speaking from my own experience now. You're a better teacher your third year than you are your first year. And we need to keep teachers in teaching.
Ann Weingarten says we need to respect that experience. That's also key to keeping teachers. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
We keep an eye on technological unemployment here, but you wouldn't listen if we called it that. Robots Ate My Job and Robot-Proof Jobs were our series. Today, at a time that wages are going up, potential recruits are picky, and unemployment running very low, under 4%, does this make the cost of bringing in technology to do the work instead more attractive to companies? The data show automation has been on the rise during pandemic. I'm joined by Charlotte Howard, the New York Bureau Chief for The Economist magazine. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, David.
With the labor shortage a clear and present challenge for so many employers, is that changing the calculus about when a company will try to have a machine do a human's work?
There is data that it is starting to change that calculus. And as the cost of workers has gone up, the cost of automation has gone down. Orders of robots in the third quarter of last year surpassed their pre-pandemic record, and they were being ordered across all different kinds of sectors. It was a broader array of different kinds of companies that were placing these orders than they had in the past.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes we think of robots as these complicated systems of automation, but it may just be a company realizes if they put in some flat screens, they can hire fewer people.
That's right. They're all different kinds of automation. So you might imagine a robot in a warehouse picking something up off a shelf. But another version of automation is when you go to your local pharmacy and you check out using a kiosk, a digital mortgage closing. These are all different ways that processes are being automated. And the big debate is whether this is something that really raises total productivity and raises total employment, or whether it has a negative outcome for workers.
Because traditional economics would tell us that, yes, someone might lose a job as a checkout clerk, but somewhere in the economy, others might get hired to fix robots or to develop robots.
That's right. And for years, people have worried about this phenomenon that robots are going to take over and everyone's going to be unemployed. That has not been borne out in the data. But again, there is this question of the workers who are displaced when a low-skill job becomes performed by a robot. Are they able to get the training to switch into a better job?
But every scenario suggests that there'll be a lot of churn. This will be difficult for individual people, even if more jobs accrue to humans in the end.
I think that politically, it can be hard to acknowledge that in a candid way because churn is uncomfortable. But I think that if you had pragmatic politicians in Washington, you would really think about how do you have a safety net that's bouncier? You know, when people fall out of the labor force, how do you help them get back in? Do you want to have people do all of their education and training in a lump at the beginning of their careers? Or are you trying to train people continuously over the course of their life in the workforce? These are the kind of questions that I think policymakers need to consider more seriously as automation ramps up.
Charlotte Howard is also U.S. business editor for The Economist magazine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's news. The New York Times has bought Wordle, that popular online game. This daily word puzzle's become a viral hit. And The Times, known for its crosswords, says it paid millions for it as the paper works to beef up its digital subscriptions. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
You know something's become a cultural phenomenon when it ends up in a Saturday Night Live sketch, like this one a week ago with a fake Donald Trump on a free word association completing a Wordle game.
Brada, and Brada is right next to Tiffany. Tiffany is my daughter. Daughters is by John Mayer. And I'm going to run through the halls of your high school in 2024 when you reelect Trump. Wordle!
The Times says Wordle has gone from a few dozen players in November to millions now. And those eyeballs could help the newspaper sign up more digital subscriptions, including separate ones for games and cooking recipes, two areas where The Times last month reached a milestone 1 million subscribers each. The Times said it paid in the low seven figures for Wordle, which pales in comparison to other acquisitions in the gaming space, Sony paying $3.5 billion for developer Bungie, or Microsoft paying $70 billion for Activision Blizzard. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Nova does Wordle. He finds it benignly relaxing. My brain just doesn't work that way. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.